I pledge allegiance
allegiance
to
to the
the
flag
flag
of the
of the
United
United
States
States
of
of America
America
and
and
to
to
the
the
republic
republic
for
for
which
which
it
it stands,
stands,
one
one
nation
nation
under
under
God,
God,
indivisible,
indivisible,
with
with
liberty
liberty
and
and
justice
justice
for
for
all.
all. All right, I'd like to just start out this morning with thanking everyone for being here, and we'll start right out with the DA's office. Oh, sorry. Do we have approval of the minutes from August 4th and August 25th?
Oh.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any objections? Not all in favor say yes.
Aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Opposed? Carries. Now you're up, Brooks. Unless you want to vote on the minutes, you could say aye.
Actually, we have two things. One involves contracts that I don't
Microphone.
know what.
There, is that?
Yeah.
Okay. So the courtroom's now. I can't get that right either. So, all right. So we have two things this morning. One is a contract to pay our interns that Noel's been working with. So I'm gonna let him talk to you about that. And then one's a really just sort of an informative issue about some other stuff that I'll probably be back next month to talk about a little more seriously. So with that, Noel.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Morning.
I just have to. I have a contract that I need to bring forth. 3 years ago, we started our intern program, and when we did that, we piggybacked on the Department of Social Services contract in regards to a local a temp hiring company that they used. I went to pay some invoices for our summer interns, and the auditor informed me that the DA's office needed their own contract. The funding was there. I just need to put this contract forth so that I can pay those invoices per the auditor. And then next year, speaking with Jack and Chris, we're going to move it to like what the or propose it like we do it like County Highway does with their summertime help through personnel and stuff like that. So we're going to switch it to that. So
But we won't be getting a mobile van for the interns, right?
no, the interns.
Maybe chat. We're thinking about it.
No. And I want to just say our intern program has been very successful. Brooks is we have two interns that have come back 2 years in a row. And one is talking about possibly doing a program that we did with one of our other people. So, with that being said, I just would like approval for the contract.
I'll move it. I'll second it.
All right. We have a motion and a second. Are there any questions? How much is the contract for, Noel?
Currently, I think the summer bill is just going to be less than ju just less than we had four interns this year, so it's going to be less than $10,000, but I had the money set aside for that.
Okay. And who's the contract actually with?
It's with IHS out of Bath.
Recruiting agency.
Human Services.
Employment agency.
Yeah, Institute of Human Services. I apologize.
Okay. Amanda just needed the exact for the minutes. So,
yeah.
All right. We have a motion and we have a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carries. Thanks, Noel.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Issue number two is a little thornier. I've spoken with Jack and with Nate about the situation in my office and staffing. I just lost my fifth attorney since the criminal justice reform and the increase in assigned counsel rates hit. I just Mike Manusa has informed me, gave me notice that he's leaving in 2 weeks. He's going to go to Allegheny County, make as much, essentially as much, working part time remotely as he is full time for us. He couldn't say no, and we can't sweeten the pot enough for him to even think about staying under those terms. Bruce Rosecrans, who was my senior ADA, who's been with me for about 5 years doing discovery work, has retired. We had talked before about him maybe working remotely in retirement and continuing, given the workload he sees us having and input from his spouse. He completely retired. So it leaves me in a position where I'm down now two full-time ADAs, and I've got a part-time ADA spot open. And I'm in a, I have a significant staffing issue. I've now got to fill 80 hours or so of work every every week with my current staff. So what I am looking to do is find a way to compensate them for the additional hours they'll be working. I'm not talking about overtime or time and a half, but just something in the neighborhood of what they're making per hour to cover some of those additional hours that I don't have with either Mike or Bruce not being there. And I know that in speaking with Nate, we're not sure that how to do that yet. I've got until the end of September with Mike on the books and working to kind of figure that out. But I do want to put you guys on notice that that's a reality I'm going to have to deal with, or I'm going to start losing people. If I just say, hey, you know, for my remaining part full-time folks and part-time folks, you've got to eat up another 10 or 15 hours a week. Folks will just start to go. And at 158 an hour, or I know that one of my other full-time ADAs started received an offer from a neighboring county for $15,000 a year more. And so we're in a pretty competitive employment environment. They can go to other places without too much trouble. And that's what I'm facing. I'm going to have to look at my staffing overall and my numbers, and I'm going to bring a presentation to you probably next month or during budget season to talk about where I am and what I need to do to be able to keep my office where it is. We're having zero luck recruiting folks. I mean, Nate can attest to that. Used to be we got resumes. I haven't seen a resume come across my desk from a lawyer looking for a job in forever. I know there have been other ADAs, other DA's offices in some flux, and I reached out to those offices, and by the time I've talked to them, most of the folks leaving, all the folks leaving, already have other jobs someplace else. The market is it's right now a seller's market if you're a prosecutor looking for a job, so it's very tough to find anybody, keep anybody, and I'm gonna have to find a way to keep the folks I've got and expand the pool I do have. So that's what I'm facing right now, and I'm hoping next month, working with Jack and Nate, to have a proposal to you to find a way to compensate those folks that is equitable and lawful and keeps people working in my office. I mean, you know, my other option would be to go out into the market, find essentially special prosecutors and pay them the assigned counsel rate at 158 an hour, at which time probably my entire office will quit and want to be special prosecutors. So that's what we're dealing with. It's a tough labor situation right now. I just wanted to put you on notice that we're going to work through that and be back next month with some kind of proposal to compensate those folks. They will be making more money, but they got a lot more work to do now. So anybody have questions about that? Yes.
Microphone.
Compensation, extra compensation, still may not take care of the extra hours. Do you think these people would be okay with it?
I don't know, but they're not going to have much choice. I mean, the work has to get done. I mean, some will fall on me, and that's fine. I'm not asking for more money for me, by the way. But I can only ask folks to do so much more without paying them more. There's got to be something out there. You know, now that we're essentially still servicing five and sometimes six county court judges, I've got to have that many lawyers to go to court, and folks are going to have to be there. The job simply has to get done, so we're going to get it done. People are going to have to work more. I just like to be able to compensate them for that. So I can't guarantee saying, here's the carrot, sign up. But it's almost like sort of forced overtime situation is this work has to get done. So at least I can compensate you for doing it if you keep track of it.
Any other questions? All right. Thanks, Brooks. Right,
thank you.
Morning, Sheriff.
How's everybody today?
Good, yourself?
Good. I am fantastic. All right. My first item is to accept three donations to the K-9 program. One in the amount of $50 from Rebecca Kluchanik. One in the amount of $100 from someone with the last name of Kelly. And $100 from the Atlanta Library.
I'll move it.
A second.
We have a motion and a second. Are there any questions? If not, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carries.
Okay. Second item, Arkport and Cooper's BOCES are both willing and anxious to have us set up a substation there. It's a $0 agreement. We just need to have the approval to be able to set those up and utilize that area.
I'm going to move it.
We have a question.
Yeah, how's that going to work being that those are public schools?
So the way we set it up is that we use it for the deputies to be able to come in and use their internet to download things and do reports there. There's no interviews or processing of arrested people that go on there.
So it's not a regular sheriff's.
No.
Okay. No.
It's a way to get a bigger presence in those locations.
Okay.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any other questions? All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Next one is the New York State Unified Court System Court Security Contract Renewal, the amount of $1,071,842. And it's already, it was expired before we got the renewal. So we're, it's just what we've been doing.
We have a motion
with the state.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any questions? All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Carries.
All right. Item number four. There was a bid. We did a bid for countertops in the booking area of the jail because of their horrible condition. We'd like to reject the bid. They came back and rebid. We had one person came back, and it was incredibly high. So we'd like to rebid it.
I'll move it.
Second.
All right. We have a motion and a second to reject the bid. Is there any question? All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Carries.
And also rebid.
And rebid, sir.
Yes.
Can you, is that part of
your motion? Yes.
Is that, Joe, is that okay to be part of your second to allow it to be rebid?
That's fine.
All good. Thank you. Next one is to approve the 2026 Stop DWI plan. It comes out to $110,700. Last year, we received from the state $121,812 in fine money. So we're budgeting less than we're taking in. Our current rollover was $27,225.
I'll move it.
A second.
We have a motion and a second.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Scott.
I'm looking at the detail of the plan. There's a schedule for a law enforcement component activity, overtime equipment budget. The city of Corning gets $5,000 for DWI patrol and overtime. The city of Hornell gets $500. Mm. Why is that so different?
It's due to the number of DWI arrests they make and what they put in for.
So they don't drink in Hornell?
Well,
they don't get caught.
No comment there. No comment. It's all about dedicated enforcement.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right. We already have a motion and a second. Is there any other questions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Okay. Next item, approve agreement with Delmar Enterprises. This was in the budget. It's an additional key box at the county office building that matches the key box container at the jail, so they're all the same, in the amount of $10,056. And again, it is budgeted.
Move it.
All right. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Are there any questions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carry.
All righty. Number seven, all traffic solutions renewal. This is the traffic trailers, et cetera. And that's in the amount of $2,625.
So move it.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Are there any questions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Okay. Number eight, Can of Steel School SRO discussion. We're going to remove that. We're still talking with the district on that. Number nine, before I get to number nine, I'd like to add two other things for bid, if that's okay.
I've got one to add too, Sheriff.
Okay.
Are you going to ask about rejecting the bid for the license plate readers?
No, I had no plans for that.
All right. Well, it was brought to me that we'd like to reject that and rebid it as well.
We were going to do that in October.
If we can reject now,
yeah.
It
I think that's the, after talking to the lieutenant, that's the intent. So
it is.
If it doesn't hurt, we can do it now and
okay.
Keep moving.
I think he wanted to have some more conversations with one of the vendors first.
Oh, okay. Then we can hold. That's no problem.
If that's all right.
Yeah, we did talk about doing it in October, but
yeah,
so don't do anything on it.
Yeah, it's not urgent. We can wait.
Okay.
Thank you.
Go ahead with your other ones,
Sheriff. SWAT helmets. Again, they're budgeted, but apparently we've reached our threshold for individuals, so they have to go out for bid. We're looking at, from the vendor we have currently, it'd be the amount of $19,694.35, but we need to put it out to bid, according to Andy.
So do we have a motion to put SWAT helmets out to bid? We have a motion.
Second.
We have a second. Are there any question? All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed?
Okay.
Carries.
Thank you. And also SWAT tactical headsets. Again, this is through the Homeland Security grant, I believe. Amount of $11,243 is what we have. But because of the threshold, Andy wants it to go out to a bid.
All right. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Are there any questions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
And that gives me one more item than Tim had, so I'm happy. So on to our last one, ICE MOU discussion. What questions does anybody have? Go ahead, Hilda. I'm sorry, Chair.
No. Go ahead. I gave you the right to do it.
Jumping to my authority again.
The two MOUs?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Why we're doing
it. Sure. Love to. We work with every federal agency. We work with the FBI frequently, not only on bank robberies and kidnappings, but also on kiddie porn. And they do their investigation. They come in, we assess them. We assist DEA with their investigations. We assist ATF with their investigations. We assist the Border Patrol with their investigations. We assist ICE and have with their investigations that come into the county. The 287G program allows us a couple things. It allows us the ability to have people trained to use their records management system so that when we have folks that are remanded to our custody in the jail or that are in our custody in the jail, we can look up directly in their system and see if they're in fact wanted federally. And if they are, we can transfer that county cost to a federal cost and deliver those people to ICE, and they can take them from there. The road one, the task force model, there's a lot of fear mongering in the media about that one. But what it basically does, it doesn't make us ICE agents, and it doesn't make it so that we can enforce ICE detainers. We still aren't able to enforce ICE detainers. What it does is, again, gives our folks on the road, if they're dealing with someone in a criminal aspect, the ability to look them up in the records management system, notify ICE if, in fact, ICE wants them or has a warrant for them, an actual federal warrant, arrest warrant. We can deliver them up to Batavia to where their local office is and turn them over to them, and they can take them and get them arraigned as we would with any other agency that we deal with. I spoke with Sheriff Schenck of Cayuga County last week. ICE came in there and took, I think, 65 people out of a local manufacturing facility. He said that was over a two-month investigation. He was fully aware of it. He does not have an agreement with ICE, but he still sent 8 people to assist and also brought DSS with him so that any child that was separated from a parent was then turned over to another relative by the end of the day through DSS, similar to what we do when we do warrants. And he was able to mitigate that effect on his community. So we look at that as the ability also that if we are included and not excluded, we'll have the ability to mitigate secondary damages that could occur to the community. So we're very excited about that. But this does not make it so that we can indiscriminately ask people for their papers or go on raids that we determine we don't like this group of workers or we like that, none of that. And it doesn't, again, there's two types of warrants. It's important to understand. There's two types of warrants when you're dealing with immigration. One is a federal arrest warrant, and one is a detainee, an administrative detainee warrant. We don't enforce, nor do we hold on the administrative detainee warrants. We only hold on the federal arrest warrants. And that doesn't change with these agreements. There's case law out there that prohibits us from doing that. So.
Yeah, this question. So if you're already going to be able to do this,
yep.
Why would we go with ICE when you're already able to do this?
Why wouldn't we?
Why would you?
Because it gives us another toolbox or another tool in our toolbox for enforcement. Again, if I can take an inmate and transfer them from county to federal and save the county costs, I'm going to do that. If I can deal with a person that is arrested for a crime and get them into the federal system rather than keep them in our local system, I'm going to do that also. And we do that with the FBI currently when we look at any bank robbery that's interstate, any kidnapping that's interstate. If you recall Billie Joe Ribble, who was convicted of kidnapping, she kidnapped a lady and her baby in Pennsylvania, brought her to New York. We arrested her. She's doing 16 years federal before she does her state time because she was convicted on both. We have a long history of that. I can tell you when I was with Corning PD, we had a gentleman in Stewart Park Apartments that was here illegally from Northern Ireland and was making bomb threats to then Polio. And ICE came down from Buffalo. I assisted them. We grabbed him out of bed, and he was on a plane back to Ireland by the end of the day out of Buffalo. So this isn't something new. It's just been severely politicized. And again, the article in the Leader wasn't written by anyone local. It was written out of Rochester. And it, again, there's a lot of fear mongering going along with this. ICE has a job to do. And, you know, everybody that comes across isn't looking for a better life. There's a lot of them that come across in the middle of the night by swimming a river or going under a fence that are here to do things that aren't great. So I think to paint it with one broad brush isn't really fair. And again, we've had fantastic interactions with our federal partners and continue to. And from my perspective, I know it's different than yours, but my perspective is that we work with all of our federal partners and our state partners, and it's my job to make sure we have a great relationship with them to do that.
Saying, scaremongering on both sides, not just on the one side, they're on both sides. So if you're, my point is, if you're already doing it,
mm-hmm.
and we're already working with them, why would we do this agreement? That's the thing that just, I don't understand.
To do it more efficiently and more effectively and more cost effectively.
Go ahead, Carol.
Oh, I think there's a lot of positive ideas here and information. Is there anything that's negative other than the public opinion?
Well, I think there's a small segment of public opinion in this county that's against it. It's probably something that the ACLU will be pounced and ready the first time you do something wrong. So our goal is to make sure we don't do anything wrong. It's for me, on my end of things, on the law enforcement end, I don't see a downside to it.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Joe.
Sheriff, first of all, I appreciate your explanation because that's helped mm-hmm. me greatly. But I think, and you've probably heard it from Police Chief Spaulding as well. I mean, mm-hmm. people in Corning are up in arms. They see this agreement between the sheriff and the ICE, and right away, you've allowed ICE to come in. That's what they're thinking. Right. So, mm-hmm. and that's just a false. Obviously, it's not true. But my question is, I've been, and I can't speak for Hilda, but I know she's been confronted by some people wanting to know what's going on, what's the agreement. Has your department received a lot of phone calls like regarding the ICE?
Not
many, huh?
Just from there was, I think, three downstate media outlets that continue to call, and that's about it.
Yeah.
But from citizens, no.
Well, when we had the resolution passed in June 23rd, and Mrs. Landa was the lone nay vote,
mm-hmm.
And I, you know, it was presented that morning, and we passed it to move it on to the legislative meeting. And I just, my initial thought was, okay, it deals with the sheriff department. I trust the sheriff department. He'll do a fine job. They'll do fine. That was my initial thought. No problems. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to take care of it. It was after the fact that I really started thinking, you know, I trust the sheriff department here in Steuben County. Mm-hmm. I don't trust ICE. Mm-hmm. And that's where I came from. I mean, there was a lot of mistrust with that organization because of the stories we're hearing,
mm-hmm.
you know, and anymore, we don't know what's true, what's not true.
Right.
But, you know, so we, at least I can speak for myself that I continue to tell people it's just in case they come in, you know, in case ICE has to come in. Do you see any need for them to sometime come into the county because of our illegal immigrants? My first thought is, do we have any illegal immigrants?
Well, that's the first question. But ICE is going to come if they decide to come, whether we have an agreement or not.
Yep.
And ICE is going to come whether we want them to or not. Yep. That's just what they do. I would much rather be able to work with them and mitigate any collateral damage that would occur with their entry than to be on the opposite side of them. And, you know, we've already seen firsthand in Tompkins County when they didn't work with ICE, instead of coming in to get that one person that was wanted, they came in and got a carload of folks. And that were here illegally, but weren't necessarily on their radar. I would rather not facilitate that kind of a response.
Thank you.
Yep.
Are there any other questions for the sheriff? Action. I guess we're good, sheriff.
All right. Well, have a wonderful
Thank
day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep. Yep.
Morning, Tim.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Sheriff, by the way, Jack has one item for me, so we're even. All right. Good morning. I do have a number of items for you this morning. The first is STN fiber splice. What we're doing is splicing an additional set of fiber on our fiber ring for the new upcoming regional radio network. This is in the amount of $13,200, and this is with STN. And the funding will come from New York State Interoperable Communications Grant.
I'll move it.
Second. All right. We have a motion. We have a second. Are there any questions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Okay. Next is a renewal of a contract with WillMac for our Cognify program, which is our recorder that records all of our incoming phone lines, radios, and also our camera system. What we're doing as part of this is we're taking part of a new warranty, making that 10 months to come in the line with the other for a 3-year total agreement, total amount of $33,750.
Motion.
All right, we have a motion. We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried.
All right, next item is Priority Dispatch. This is a renewal of a contract with Priority Dispatch. This is the company that we use for our EMS dispatch protocol for our dispatchers. This is what they provide or use when they're offering medical assistance over the phone for 911 calls. Total amount for the renewal of the contract, the card set, and also what they call the college, which is their educational program where we train and upgrade our dispatchers or give them our annual renewals. So a total of $4,330.
I'll move it.
All right. We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Carries.
If I could just real quick on that, Jeff, for newer legislators, or I think it's been a few years since we discussed this, using these emergency dispatch protocols in this certified system also is a liability savings for us too. And we have had to use that in lawsuits over the very it's been a number of years, but because our dispatchers are using prescribed step-by-step certified and accredited protocols, that does help us out from a liability perspective.
Okay, the next item I have is for LF Designs, which is our NetMotion. This is the software that is used to interface with the mobile data terminals in the field. So these are the connections with the CAD system for the mobile data terminals in the police cars for the officers. This is a renewal as well, $21,495.60.
Move it.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Are there any questions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Carries.
Next item is we're working with Ontario County at their Hunt Hollow site. This is in the town of Bristol, just over the border from Cohocton, between Cohocton and Whelan, for a tower site that we're looking at putting some equipment in place to try and fill some holes in that northern part of our county. So I'd like to do an intermunicipal agreement with Ontario County for this tower site.
I'll move it.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries. I think we skipped number five, didn't we?
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
What did I skip?
D-Land.
Oh, D-Land. Okay. Yep. I was just noticing that as well. So D-Land is our disaster management software that we use during an incident. This is connected with the state system. So anything that we put in the local system, we can interface with the state. We use this extensively during COVID and then during the floods. The amount on this is, this is actually a 5-year agreement with an annual amount of $19,130.24.
I'll move it.
Second.
We have a motion and a second.
And it is budgeted.
Okay.
Are there any other questions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Okay, next is the Woodhull ambulance lease. So we have been just over a year of our operation with Woodhull. We have met with them and agreed to terms on another additional year. It would be a $10,000 total annual sum lease to Woodhull for the use of their ambulance and facilities. And we would like approval for Mr. Wheeler to sign that agreement.
I'll move it.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. We have a question. Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, how much is the cost of the lease?
It's $10,000.
Okay.
Are there any other questions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
All right. Next item is Eagle View, which is our pictometry. This is a renewal. We're actually going to do a series of flights that would include flights, I believe, in 26, 27, or 26, 28, and 30. I believe that's the total.
Tim, can you explain the difference between with ChangeFinder and without?
So ChangeFinder was something that we entered into with pictometry several years ago to allow the assessors to go in and look at any changes that were identified within the photographs. In talking with Real Property Tax and with our GIS department, Alan Brown from my office has a view of how many people log into this and use this. And we found that the assessors really are not using the Change Finder application. There was only a couple of municipalities that were using it. Larry Roach from Real Property Tax reached out to those assessors and questioned them about whether they, you know, necessarily need Change Finder or not. They basically said we'd be fine with just using the pictometry. They've got a pretty good feel for what's being changed in their jurisdiction. So my recommendation, along with Larry and also our GIS folks, was to renew this without change finder. So that would be a $109,491.60 annually. This comes out of our regular budget. And this would take us through the end of 2029.
Move it. Second.
We have a motion and a second. Tim, is that price of $109,491.60 the price each year, or does it go up so many percent?
Nope, we're locked in for that price through 2029.
Are there any other questions? All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Carry.
Next item is accepting a donation from the Donald Guthrie Foundation. This is for us to purchase a renovated, upgraded AED. So it's not new. It's actually, a factory refurb unit. The problem that we have right now is we only have the units that are in service. If one unit goes down, then that ALS unit is actually out of service. So this will allow us to have a spare for us to put into service if we have to take a unit out of service. I think the last time we had a unit that went out of service, that ALS unit was out of service for about a day and a half, I believe. So this will allow us to be able to have the funding to be able to buy a retrofitted unit have a spare on hand.
How long from the time of us accepting this till you could actually get the unit?
She could purchase it as soon as we approve it.
Okay.
So we could purchase it probably a few months to get it, or because it's a retrofit, we should be able to get it fairly quickly.
Okay.
Versus a new one.
Go ahead, Hilda.
No, these are specific for the paramedics. They are multi-functional, and maybe Brandon can give us more details to it than I do. He's the paramedic. I'm not.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Yes, this is a LifePak 15, which allows our paramedics to do pretty much everything that they could do in an emergency room. It's the same monitor you would find in an emergency room. All the things that they have to monitor, from EKGs to how much oxygen is in your blood, how much CO2 you're blowing off. So it's a great savings versus something. And like Tim said, it's a great backup for us. So
do we have any idea what this donation value is?
Pardon me?
Total amount of this.
I believe it was just shy of $13,000. Nice. I don't have the exact amount on me, but that is about a quarter of what a new monitor would cost.
I move it.
We have a motion.
Second.
We have a second. Are there any other questions? All in favor, say aye.
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 Brandon, when you talk to him, just make sure and we said thank you.
Okay, I will. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll have Eddie. We'll have Eddie come out and we'll do a nice press thing.
I'm sure he'll want a picture of something.
Absolutely, you know that. I know that very well. All right. Last item I've got, Tyler, if you want to come up. Is accommodation. Our folks from County EMS experienced a pretty intense call back in July, and I wanted to commendation for these individuals. Unfortunately, Catherine Owen, Patrick Smith, Terry Simons, and Deputy Cody Henry were unable to be with us today, but with us is paramedic EMS coordinator Brandon Rossetti, and then Tyler Smalt, who's one of our EMTs. So on the afternoon of July 22nd, at about 4:53 in the afternoon, County Ambulance 154 and Woodhall Ambulance, along with Woodhall Fire Department, were dispatched to a farm on Church Hill Road in the town of Woodhall. The initial report of the 911 dispatch indicated that there was an accident involving the patient being struck by a horse, that the incident was far off the road and would only be accessible by a UTV. The initial units were directed past the address to an adjacent farm and subsequent field, approximately a quarter mile to a half a mile off the roadway. EMT Catherine Owen grabbed the jump bag from the ambulance and began hiking through the field to the location of a patient, while her partner Tyler Smalt secured additional equipment and awaited the arriving UTV and Woodhall equipment. Upon making contact with the patient, EMT Owen identified the enormity of the incident and requested ALS and immediately requested air medical to the scene. EMT Owen and Deputy Henry provided patient care until additional help arrived. Shortly thereafter, County EMTs Pat Smith and Terry Simons, who are also members of Woodhull Fire and Ambulance, as well as Woodhull Equipment, joined the patient care with EMT Small. Staff not only provided patient care, but also provided support to the nearby family. Paramedic Rossetti arrived on the scene and provided advanced life support to the patient. The victim was treated and stabilized for flight by Steuben County EMS members and then transferred to a local trauma center by helicopter. Unfortunately, in this situation, the patient did not survive his injuries. However, the teamwork and efforts of the Steuben County and Woodhull crews that day shows the dedication of our staff and how our collaboration with Woodhull Fire Department can make a difference in the nearby communities. I hereby commend EMT Catherine Owens, EMT Tyler Smalt, EMT Patrick Smith, EMT Terry Simons, paramedic Brandon Rossetti, Deputy Cody Henry, for their efforts to make a difference in this patient's life. And that's all I've got for you today in case you have any questions.
Did he say you had one more? Okay. All right. Thanks, Tim.
All right. Thank you.
I just quick question.
Oh, yes.
Are we 5/12s in Woodhull or are we 7/12s in Woodhull now?
Right now with this new contract, well, we're currently going 7/12s and with the new contract we'll be 7/12s.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Just curious. That's all.
Yep.
Yep. Thank you.
Yep.
All right, Nate, you're up.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'd just like to note that I have the least items of anybody on this today.
I thought it was a mistake when I printed it.
I know, right? Usually I've got this whole list. This is a little weird. Just one request today in the public defender's office, and the request is to create one senior typist position, CSEA grade F. And this is in response to a contract amendment with ILS with the Upstate Family Defense Quality Improvement and Caseload Reduction Grant. That's a lot to say, Sean. Yeah. This requires some extra duties in the office, obviously fully funded by ILS, and Sean is here to give you any answers to any questions you may have.
Fully funded was the key word in the sentence.
Mm-hmm. I always try to come with that in mind.
All right, go ahead, Hilda.
No.
Replying, Hilda? I'll move it.
All right, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a second. Are there any other questions? All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Not that kind of senior hill.
Thanks, Nate. All right, Jack.
All right. Thank you. Just a couple items from me. The first, the chair forwarded from NACO to us information about the Fixing Emergency Management for America Act, FEMA Act, aptly named. Sent some details around to you folks for those of you at NYSEC. I think both Joe and Hilda were in the federal session where they talked about this. It actually, you know, for the gloom and doom that we heard at the beginning of the year about FEMA being cut, this is a positive change in my view, potential change, and it looks like it has bipartisan support. The largest change in this legislation would take the public assistance portion of disaster recovery, which is what we get for roads, bridges, includes schools, JT, you know, if a school is impacted, but the public assistance portion from a grant-based model to a, or from a reimbursement-based model to a grants-based model. Obviously, we're still getting reimbursed from projects from Tropical Storm Fred. And knowing other communities are, you know, on a lag of 3 to 5 years. So if it's a grant-based where they determine what the damage is and then give you the money to be able to fix, obviously that's better. We still keep documentation to be able to back up everything that we did, but it would get money in the hands of municipalities
to be able, and public entities to be able to do those projects. The other thing is, it would, they're talking about a dashboard for public assistance, which would give greater transparency not only to the public but also to those of us that are impacted, you know, communities like us that are impacted in a disaster, where some projects are approved, some projects are denied, and no one knows why one was approved and one was denied. It would require FEMA to create a dashboard to show the projects that were submitted, what was approved, what was denied, and some backup information. There are a number of other changes, but they all look pretty positive. We did ask NYSAC and NACO, and they both support the bill. I did ask about the individual assistance portion, which obviously your residents and our residents were, in my opinion, neglected in the past two tropical storms that we've had, and emergency designations where they did not qualify for individual assistance. They have not given any details and said that they would keep us posted on that. So there may not be changes to that portion of it, but just those couple changes that I highlighted would be beneficial. So looking for recommending a memorializing resolution in support of this act.
All right, Fred. A couple of questions. Is it indication that the federal government is going to continue to fund FEMA as they have?
That the latest that we have heard, and obviously we had the reconciliation bill, but now they are in budget mode. We are hearing, and they said this at NYSAC, that it's likely going to be at least one continuing resolution. So to avoid a federal government shutdown again, who knows? But they are actively discussing budget right now. FEMA looks to be strongly supported in the budget. It does not look like a significant decrease. Tim. Oh, sorry, Jeff.
No, go ahead.
So what I'm hearing coming out of this is that they're looking at FEMA, pulling FEMA out of DHS and making it, again, its own independent cabinet level, and then having a cabinet level agency secretary, head, the secretary, yeah, that would be in charge of FEMA. So it looks like we're getting away from the original intent that we were going to abolish FEMA to now we're going to make FEMA an actual cabinet level.
That's a great point. And NACO did highlight that at the NYSAC conference, and that actually, that very much strongly codifies FEMA. So it looks like the tide has turned, and FEMA will hopefully be getting additional support.
My second question is, this funding change apply to future disasters or any of the...
Our understanding right now, and again, it could change with bill language tweaks, but it would be prospective. Yeah. So it wouldn't change how we are reimbursed for Fred or Debbie.
Okay.
Go ahead, Hilda.
The comment, and I used your language to them and said, we're not looking always for money. We want the ability to go in and make changes into the streams or whatever. And I saw somebody writing it down. I don't know if they knew anything about it, but
thank you. About the money. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yep. Yeah, and talking to NACO about that, and we had some further discussion at some of the other meetings, and hopefully they can be another voice to apply pressure to DEC and the state, because that, you know, really is, that's where the authority lies there. So yeah, as much as we can keep that highlighted is great.
So do we have a motion?
I'll move it.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Thank you. And the other item that put Tim over the top was for related to him and the civil defense expansion. Obviously, Shell and civil defense expansion, for all intents and purposes, all of it is complete, except for really preparing to outfit the extra space that was created for 911 backup. And the first step in that process is electric work, both cat cable and additional electric work for wiring racks. The amount of that is a total of $8,588.86, and there's sufficient funding in the emergency communication capital project.
Move it.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Are there any questions? If not, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries.
Thank you. That's
anything else?
I have a question back around
I guess, emergency response type stuff. You had mentioned back when we were talking about the ambulance, you know, project, that the state might start getting involved in dictating how emergency management. Mm-hmm. Is there any more movement on that?
No, we actually talked about that. And I don't know if Tim's heard anything different, but we talked about that up at NYSAC. And it looks like they went from this one package of bills that didn't get support and they farmed out and separated them. So they did make some tweaks, but it was more in reimbursement and some other behind the scenes stuff. That the main one we were concerned about was the one that would require us to require every county to develop an EMS plan with dictates from the state, which I think NYSAC pretty successfully convinced the state that we're all in different phases of this process. If you come in now and say you shall do this, then it throws the whole thing into a mess. And so it looks like that is not going to happen.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else? Go ahead, Hilda.
Back to the whole ICE issue. When we have a special meeting and we get a resolution a few days before, it doesn't really give us a lot of time or background. There was really no background. I'm not on the committee, but I didn't see any background, and maybe you guys did on the committee, to know what was coming in this special meeting. And then you vote on it, and like in a half an hour later, we're at the full legislature, yeah, and we're voting on something that I don't know if anybody really understood what it meant other than the resolution. So if we can get that information ahead of time, maybe we can have at least a better idea of what was coming, because I didn't feel like I knew what was coming. I don't know about the rest, 16 other people. If you all knew about it ahead of time, well, then that's great. But I don't really believe we all did.
That's true.
Go ahead, Kelly.
When we discussed it at the committee level, didn't the sheriff send us a link for the agreement that we could have gone through? I know I did read through it, and I don't remember how many pages it was, but it did kind of explain the process. And I believe that email went out to all legislators.
I didn't see it.
It may have been shortly before, like the Friday before the meeting, but yeah, that's what I recall, is that it was
one
weeks before, but just, you know, give us a little bit of warning that,
yeah,
that we know what's going.
Thank you. Are there any other questions or comments? If not, we have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.